Welcome to the Gymea Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We're so glad you're listening to the pod and trust that this message encourages your heart and faith today. At GBC, we're all about partnering with God in the renewal and restoration of all things. And it's our hope that through these sermons, you'll discover the life-changing power of Jesus. If you'd like to join us in person or online or find out more, check out our website at gymeabaptist.org.au.
Morning, church. Our reading this morning comes from Matthew 28, entitled The Great Commission, starting at verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age."
Lives changed by Jesus. We talk about it a lot, but what do we mean? What does a life changed by Jesus truly look like? How does the decision to follow Jesus and place one's faith in him impact our lives? In this series, we will explore the ways we experience the ongoing conversion of following Jesus, reflecting on the biblical evidence of a life being changed by Jesus.
Good morning. On a bit of a wet Sunday morning after a very odd week. I don't know how many of you felt it was odd and couldn't remember what day it was most of the week with the two additional holidays. I was at a conference, a preaching conference. I don't know that you'll notice any difference this morning, unfortunately, but I was at a preaching conference Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, which meant that the week blew by really, really quickly. But trust that whether you were at work for some or all of that, had some time off, that you're back and ready to go. As we head into a new week and a new term. And this is the last week of our series that we've started the year with, Lives Changed by Jesus, in which we've been exploring some of the practices that are evidence of a life changed by Jesus, the things that would mark the life of someone who was changed, but also the practices that Jesus uses to change us. Things like prayer and service or Bible reading or a deeper love for and commitment to the family of God and a whole number of things. And today, we're looking at the final of them, which is about making disciples. And chose as the passage, as you just heard, the Great Commission. It's the very last scene that we have in Matthew's Gospel, and it's the scene that leaves us crying for a sequel. We want to know what happens at the end after Jesus gives this really profound mission to his followers to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to obey everything that he has commanded. I don't know about you, but you get to the end of that and you think, well, how did it turn out? Well, if you read the rest of the New Testament, you'll learn that it turned out okay. Here we are today. So there's been a connection between those first disciples who went and made disciples, who in turn made disciples, who in turn made disciples, who in turn made disciples, and I won't continue on as many as we need. You get the drift. Here we are today. But what does it look like for us to be people who make disciples? As Heather said, it's not necessarily rocket science, but I'd like to reflect a little bit on it today using this passage, and I essentially want to make three observations about making disciples that we see in this passage. But with each of those observations, I have an important proviso, which is, of course, preacher speak for having 6 points but only wanting to have three. So I have three observations with three provisos, three things we need to keep in mind as we think about those observations. When it comes to making disciples, what does it look like for us to be people who are making disciples of those around us? And I think it's important right at the outset to ask ourselves, so what does it look like to make a disciple? What does that actually mean? What are we aiming for? What's the outcome? And Jesus does provide us with an outcome. He actually gives us a really kind of high-level description of what a disciple is. So what we see, right, he says, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you." So ultimately, a disciple is someone who has been baptized and who obeys everything that Jesus commands. That's the broad outcome. That's the broad kind of thing that we're looking to create. Now, I don't think it's just about making sure that a bunch of people get wet, that when Jesus is talking about baptism. When we baptized four people earlier in this series, we talked about the symbolism of baptism, that people being kind of put under the water symbolizes both the sense of cleansing, so there's a sense of understanding that something has happened with Jesus, that we have been cleansed of our sins, made right with God. There's a symbolism of being buried to our old life and being raised to a new life. And there's also the wider symbolism of commitment to the things of Jesus. And that's, I think, what Jesus is getting at here. When you make a disciple, you are making someone who understands what Jesus has done, who believes in what Jesus has done, who has committed themselves to leaving an old way of living behind and has embraced a new way of living. And that new way of living is fundamentally shaped by the teaching of Jesus. In John's gospel, Jesus makes it very clear that to love him is to obey him. To some degree, I think the language that's perhaps more helpful for us is actually to think about faithfulness. Obedience sounds like rules and duty, and yet our relationship with the Lord ought to be one that is a relationship, that it ought to be inspired and motivated by love, that we ought to see the life that Jesus has called us to, not as a burden, because he himself says his burden is light and his yoke is easy, but it ought to be the faithfulness that comes from any relationship. You may have heard me use this example before, but nearly all of our relationships have rules to them. If you sit on a bus late at night and you get on the bus and there's one other person on the bus, where are you able to sit? Anywhere you like except next to that person. If you don't know that, write that down. That might explain a whole bunch of stuff that happens to you when you get on buses late at night. If you get on a bus and it's packed and you are standing far closer to someone than you might normally do, of course there are rules, aren't there? You don't make eye contact. And if you do, there are three things you can talk about: the weather, how full the train or bus is, and how soon your stop is. That's about it, right? The thing about relationships and those rules is that the more significant the relationship, the more important the rules are. But the more significant the relationship, the less those rules are spoken about as rules. If you hear a husband speaking about the rules of his marriage, you can tell something about that relationship, can't you? It ain't healthy. The rules of a relationship are the conditions within which that relationship flourishes. You follow me? And the more significant a relationship, the more important are those rules, but the more significant the relationship, the less we talk about those rules as rules. They're simply the conditions within which the relationship flourishes. Our relationship with Jesus flourishes when we obey the rules because we love him. This is what Jesus calls us to do. This is what he calls us to be people who understand what he has done, who are committed to living a new life, and who are committed to doing so as a heart response to what he has done for us. That is what it means to be and to make a disciple. Here's the proviso. It means that is a long process. It's not something that happens instantly. You don't make a disciple. It's a process of maturity and fruitfulness that takes a long time. I think all of us who have been following Jesus for any length of time recognize how long-term that process is. It's a process that we are engaged in. Think about the terms that the Bible uses, like fruitfulness. For a tree to become fruitful, it doesn't just, you know, grow in the pot and immediately bear fruit. The tree itself has to come to maturity, and then the fruit itself takes time to develop. Which means that we can be a little bit, shall I say, extend some grace to others and to ourselves in terms of the process that we're on. learning and growing and developing and maturing and changing in all of the things and all of the ways. It's a long-term process, but one that we must never abandon. We must never abandon the process of becoming more like Jesus. That's the first. That what we have here is a clear outcome with the proviso that it is a long process. Here's the second observation. Because when you consider the rest of the New Testament, what you find is, well, I found a surprising lack of focus on making disciples. There's a part of me that sort of thought when I returned to this passage again, that when Jesus said, go and make disciples, that language would have been on the lips of the apostles all the way through the New Testament. And it's not. You never hear Paul talk about making disciples. You never hear the disciples or the apostles talking about the importance of going. They just went and made disciples. The second observation is this, that disciple making and discipleship is business as usual for the church. It is, as Heather said, nothing, it's not rocket science. It's just what we're supposed to do. It's what the church did. In the preaching, in the teaching, in the baptizing, in the establishing of churches, in the appointing of leaders, in writing all of the letters to all of these various churches to strengthen and support and encourage them, that's the work. It's just business as usual. It's not an additional extra. It's not a bonus level. It's not something that we get to when we arrive at a certain level of maturity. It is just what we're supposed to do. You and I are supposed to continue to follow Jesus in that long process of becoming ever more faithful to him. And we are to encourage one another to do the same thing in our business as usual. It's just part of who we are. Now, we do need to be paying attention to that process and make sure that we're intentional in it. But I think the other proviso that I'd like to raise about this business as usual piece is that discipleship is inherently messy. The Great Commission is preceded by these words. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. The people whom Jesus was about to commission to make disciples, there's a group of them who are like, I don't know. I'm not sure that this guy is who he thinks he is. There were people who doubted. There were only 11 because one had betrayed him. There were supposed to be 12. Remember all that stuff? If that's not messy, I don't know what is. And if you really want evidence, just read the rest of the New Testament. I've said this before, if I had been in charge of kind of pulling together the books that were going to be part of the New Testament, I would have been tempted to find really excellent churches with really excellent faithful believers and filled the New Testament with examples that you should be like. Be like this church. Be like these disciples. They're faithful and obedient and consistent and fruitful and all that stuff. Do you know what the New Testament is filled with? The Corinthians. Have you read Corinthians? The stuff that Paul has to correct is bizarre. He's like, okay, don't come to church drunk. I've never had to tell any of you that, so I feel really, really good. He's like, there's a case of incest amongst the leadership. They're suing one another in the church. Like, it's just chaos. That's the Bible. So encouraging, isn't it? I talked over Easter weekend of the attainable examples that we have. There's nothing more attainable than the Corinthians. We can be better than that. But I think what it demonstrates for us is that local churches of believers struggled to figure out how to be faithful to Jesus in their local contexts. It just isn't really easy. It's not simple. It's not straightforward. Our discipleship will be uneven. It's going to go in fits and starts. We're not always going to get it right. It's inherently messy, which again, if we're called to be faithful to Jesus, But that's a long process. And it's to be business as usual, but it's a little bit messy. I think it allows us to extend some grace to one another and to extend some grace to ourselves. That when we don't get it, when we continue to struggle, when there's long periods where nothing seems to be maturing or growing or anything, well, that's okay. It's a process and it's messy. And we must be committed to the process and to the messiness that is inherent within it. The third observation, though, and I'd like to make out of this passage, is that this is a group project. Jesus does not ascend the mountain and say, you go and make disciples. The rest of you are off the hook. You just kind of stay here and, I don't know, get into a life group or something. No, you, all of you, as you are going, wherever you're going, go. You do this. It is a group project. We can't do this alone. I can't follow Jesus alone. I can't help you follow Jesus alone. Years ago now, when the girls were much younger and we used to watch Pixar movies all the time because, well, we had young children, you ever see the Pixar shorts? You know, like the 5-minute really clever little films that they do before the main feature? You've seen those? Even if you haven't seen them. If you've seen a short film, I was watching one of these Pixar shorts, 5 minutes, no talking, right? So there's no voice actors in it, whatnot. And then the credits rolled. The credits took nearly as long as the film took. There were dozens and dozens and dozens of people who were given credit for helping with a 5-minute film. Have you ever watched the credits of a 90-minute film? Hundreds of people are given credit for participating in 90 minutes of entertainment, which may or may not even be good quality entertainment. If you ran the credits of your life right now, how many people would be on it? It's not going to be one. It's not going to be two. My guess is it's going to be dozens and dozens and dozens of people who should be given credit for helping you become a little bit more like Jesus. Some of them will have major speaking roles, right? Some of them might be the editor. Some of them might be the main character. Some of them will be third policeman from the left or random woman by the bus stop. But they will all be credited with doing something in your life. Who's in your credits? Who has made you who you are today? And in whose credits is your name listed? As someone who, perhaps in a major way or in a minor way, helped shape and describe and teach and encourage someone else to live a little bit more faithfully to Jesus. This is group work. I can't do discipleship. We have to do discipleship. If it takes hundreds of people to make a film, how many more people do you think it's going to take to make disciples? But here's a really important proviso. Really important. In fact, it's probably the most significant part of this whole passage. And that is that while we know what it is that we're aiming at, to help people and to go ourselves on the journey of increasing faithfulness, that long and messy process, that idea that we want to be engaged in with other people, ultimately, the only way that that happens is in participation with Jesus. Did you notice how the Great Commission starts and concludes? With Jesus. All authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Therefore go. And surely I will be with you to the end of the age. All authority has been given to me, Jesus says. All authority in heaven and earth, it's all been given to me, and I will always be with you. I, the one to whom all authority on heaven and on earth has been given. If we're thinking about the discipleship as a film, Jesus is the director, the one in charge of everything. The one who tells us whether it's a wrap or whether we're doing another take. The one who recruits and makes sure that everybody is doing the right thing at the right time so that the finished product is someone who is faithfully following him. Jesus directs us. It is his authority. It is his power. It is his presence that is ultimately the foundation for everything we do. And we cannot get away from that. I mentioned it on Easter Sunday. That ultimately what changed the lives of the apostles was not just their belief. It wasn't their understanding. It wasn't their practice. It was an encounter with Jesus. Being a disciple is fundamentally about encountering Jesus, about meeting Jesus. And it's only as we meet Jesus that all those other things become kind of clear for us. It's only as we meet Jesus and encounter and engage him that we understand what we believe about him, that we deepen our understanding of who he is and the implications for our lives. And it's so easy for us to flip those around because we can kind of control what we believe and what we do and what we think. But ultimately, that is a poor substitute for the only thing that matters for disciples, and that is encountering Jesus. And it comes back to love. I mean, I love learning. I love books. But that's a different kind of love than loving people, isn't it? We can love having our doctrine all lined up. We can love what we understand about the Bible. We can love the way that we practice. But ultimately, all of discipleship is about our love for Jesus, whom we have encountered. And discipleship is to some degree as simple and as complex as introducing one another to Jesus again and again and again and again. Until that relationship becomes so important for us that it reshapes our lives. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded. And surely, I am with you to the very end.
Thanks for listening to this sermon podcast. We hope you found inspiration and encouragement, and God used this message to speak to you. If you want to connect more with GBC, you can follow us on social media or contact us via our website. You can also get to know some of the people from our church community through the We Are the Church podcast. Real stories of real people sharing how Jesus has shaped and transformed their life. We pray you experience the transforming power of Jesus in your life, and pray that God blesses you today.